Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the 17th chapter of Luke's gospel. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron, serve me while I eat and drink, and later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to do.'" It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This summer, I was introduced to the writing of Robert McFarlane, who writes about walking, and particularly walking in Britain. His book, The Old Ways, begins, "Humans are animals, and like all animals, we leave tracks as we walk." You know, now that most of our journeys occur on asphalt and concrete, we tend to forget that we are track makers, and we overlook a landscape veined with paths and footways. Pilgrim paths, green roads, drove roads, corpse roads, trods, lays, dikes, drongs, sarns, snickets. "Say the names of paths out loud and at a speed," McFarlane writes, "and they become a poem, a rite. Holloways, Bostels, Shuts, Driftways, Litchways, Ridings, Halter Paths, Cartways, Carneys, Causeways, Hare Paths." These old ways are the byproducts of humans connecting one place to another. Some of those connections are for relationships, you know, romance. Others are for a purpose, for commerce, a trade, an underground railroad. There are to this day still famine roads in Ireland built by the starving in the 1840s. There are coffin paths to family cemeteries that have resting stones on the uphill side so that bearers could rest their shoulders and shake out their arms. You know, faith is a particular way of being human, a path that connects our lives with those of others and our Creator. This morning we read the opening of Paul's second letter to Timothy, in which he refers to the passing of faith from one to another. You know, a pathway, a guide to being human, the transfer of a gift from God to another. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you." What made Timothy's faith sincere? I suspect he's learned markers that have allowed him to traverse the wide expanse of human experience with a sense of direction and purpose, has developed the discipline to avoid temptations that may lead him off the path. Trust in his navigational skills that he's been taught, and has the humility when walking into the unknown to admit that he's off the map. In Psalm 137, one of the lessons for today that we did not read, the faithful of Israel acknowledged that they were not on the map of their known world when they questioned, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" T.S. Eliot, when writing about writing and the tradition that shapes any artist, has said, "Tradition is a matter of much wider significance. It cannot be inherited, and if you want it, you must obtain it with great labor." Tradition is not something you inherit, but if you want it, you must obtain it by great labor. You know, in the one-way conversations that are Paul's letters, we don't know the great labors Lois and Eunice endured for Timothy to have witnessed and received a living faith. Many scholars speculate that they are among the disinherited widows of the ancient world who found a family, a community, inside the Christian community, but we don't know. What I am certain of is that they lived faithful lives as those who knew themselves to be among the returnees from exile, the redeemed from the perishing, the survivors of loss. What was passed from one generation to the next may not have been the correct spelling of the 12 disciples' names, or the ability to list all the kings of Israel back to Saul, or Queen Esther's sisters, but trust in the goodness of God despite, to the contrary, evidence, and the privileging of mercy over punishment, inclusion over purity, the messiness of life over the tidiness of death. Paul is not recalling the knowledge of Lois, Eunice, Timothy, but their faith. Our disciples this morning are asking Jesus for help. You need to understand that prior to our reading this morning, Jesus has spoken with his disciples about a particular way of living, a particular way of being faithful that includes not exalting themselves, taking the lower place, inviting the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind when you give a banquet, not being a disciple if you're unable to carry the cross or unable to give up possessions, family, and yes, life itself. Seeking the lost, writing off debts, creating relationships, not serving two masters. About being willing to be cast into the sea with a millstone rather than causing a little one to stumble. And forgiving a person if someone sins against you seven times and says to you seven times a day, "I repent." You know, this is a synopsis of the previous three chapters. You know, it's no wonder the disciples blurt out, "Increase our faith." Who can do that? When the disciples say, "Increase our faith," Jesus hears their request as a dodge and responds, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say." Now, this puts us disciples in a bind, doesn't it? Faith the size of a mustard seed? We have. Now, we think we need a larger faith, you know, walnut-sized faith. You know, more facts, another book study, one more witness from someone else. And then Jesus continues with a very uncomfortable parable about slaves doing what they ought to do. Or in other words, faith comes in the doing. Like Eliot says about tradition, it comes not by inheritance, but by great labor in the doing. You know, when we commit ourselves to another, we declare our love for another, and we do. You know, it's later that we discover what love cost and how much love we're finally able to give only as we labor at living together. We give birth to children, and people congratulate us on becoming parents. But on that exalted day, we're not given wisdom to be parents. That only comes later, if at all, with the great labor of being a responsible mother or father. The day we accept a job, we're optimistic, we're confident that we have what it takes to get the job done. But only as the days and duties accumulate do we discover the abilities to accomplish labor that we could have never imagined. That's the way life is. It's also the way faith is. Faith is not increased by waiting and wanting, even praying for more faith. Faith is increased in the doing. It's made muscular, resilient, as we go about laboring as God's servants. So when you have served, you only have to say, we've only done what we ought to have done. When you've forgiven 7 times, I've only done what I ought to have done. When you've sat at the bedside of a loved one half the night, we've only done what we ought to have done. When you've taught church school or returned from an evening of preparing food, we've only done what we ought to have done. When you make a financial commitment to the church, as we will in the coming month, you say, we've only done what we ought to have done. It's in the doing. It's not in saying, increase our faith, that our faith is increased. It's not wrong. Nor is it wrong to be more knowledgeable about one's faith. I endorse it. Know the stories of ancestors whose lives have been given order out of chaos, been brought through the waters of the flood to dry land, escaped from enemies by the skin of their teeth. Know the stories of dry bones coming to life, Samaritan becoming neighbors, prodigals welcomed home. But faith only increases by living those stories, using those stories as guides for human life. I want you to hear the good news. The faith you have is enough. You know, hear it again. The faith you have, albeit the size of a mustard seed, is sufficient. You can want more, but you can never have too little. What you have is sufficient. Don't wait for an easy inheritance. It's not coming. An increase of faith only comes with great labor. Live your faith. Practice forgiveness. Extend hospitality. Seek the lost. Transform debts into relationships. Increase faith by doing what you ought to do. That's the way of faith, connecting us to one another today, connecting us to one another who left tracks for us, connecting us to those who will follow in our steps. Faith moves from Lois to Eunice to Timothy and now lives in you. Be a participant. Commit to a path and vein the world with paths towards a life-giving and a life abundant. Thanks be to God. Amen.